Blog Talk Radio.
I dream of a city called glory, so bright, so fair. When I entered the gate, I cried, "Home."
Bye.
You live.
Good evening, folks. The Sound Doctor and broadcaster Dr. Ventura coming to you live from Imperial Beach, California, where the sun is shining today. I don't know about the rest of the country, but I know it's shining. I hear they're due to get some snow up there in New England. I'm headed that way. So if you'd like to email me or talk to me and you're in New England, I'm coming your way. I'll be down in Florida. From Florida, I'll be up in New England, and I'm available. If you'd like me to come visit your church, I'd certainly love to come visit you, say hello. Just let me know where you are on the way. God bless you. And I want to thank the listening audience for listening in, for your emails, your letters, for your faithfulness, and especially your prayers, because they really have an effect. Your prayers help me, and I thank you greatly for your prayers. And God bless you, and I just want to thank you. So tonight I thought I'd do something a little different. Usually I have a teaching, but I'd like to keep up with the theme on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Before I get on the road, I'm going to start traveling this evening, and I'd ask for your prayers, if you would, for your traveling mercies. The last time I came across this country, I saw a lot of bad driving and a lot of car accidents and stuff that would just really chill a person, and it's never been that bad. It seems that the whole world is on a collision course. And, you know, I could probably preach a wonderful, wonderful sermon on that. The world is on a collision course. One day I'm going to preach a sermon I preached once about when God raises Cain, but one day I'm going to preach a sermon, Lord willing, called When God Raises Hell. Amen? Because God's going to raise hell. He's going to bring hell up, and they're going to stand before that judgment seat of Christ. Now, last night I was teaching out of the book of Colossians at our the Bible Believers Baptist Church, at our Bible study in my home, and I had the opportunity to speak with twins and another gentleman. And they were teenagers, and it was the first, you know, they came into the Bible study. They were visiting from out of town, from Idaho. Their hearts were not exactly prepared to receive the Word of God. And, you know, I prayed with them, and then I started teaching, and I saw a little foolishness and some laughing. And then I told them about life at the end of, towards the end of the study. I told them about life, about the temptations that teenagers face in today's society and the role models, and that it's okay. Hey, it's okay if you're a teenager to be different. It's okay to dress different than the world. It's okay to speak different than the world. It's okay to be rejected by the world. It's all okay in Jesus Christ. But the one thing I wanted them to know is that they don't be confused with carrying the cross of Christ. And this is not my sermon, but just on topic of subject, don't be confused about the carrying of the cross of Christ. When Jesus said you had to carry your cross, he didn't mean that you're just carrying a burden. You know what the end of the cross is? The end of the cross is pain and suffering. And that's what Jesus is saying. You're going to carry your cross. The end is death, pain and suffering. That's what's at the end of that cross. And yeah, it's a burden to carry it through your life. But oh, like Jesus, when we get to the other side, amen? Well, tonight's sermon is called No Resurrection, No Hope. No resurrection, no hope. Amen? They say there was a pastor up in New England or Texas somewhere there and down in the United States who used to put a sign out in front of the church, and he put the darndest things. And people would come in. They want to see what's this pastor preaching. And he had a big sign in front of the church coming, Sunday night sermon, pastor throws a cat out the window, you know? And people would come to hear him preach. But tonight I have a sermon. It's called No Resurrection, No Hope. And my text is going to be out of Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 6. Matthew 28, 1 to 6. My wife told me this morning that Marilyn said, on my way to work, as I was listening to a sermon, the preacher was preaching on, are you sipping the Word of God? Are you sipping the Word of God? You know, we do that. We don't drink it all in. We just sip it, a little taste here, a little there. We read a little here, we read a little there. We show up church every now and then. Well, that's not really what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be living for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be doing those things 24/7. Amen? We're running out of time. We're running out of time to win souls. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 6. Let's have a prayer. We just kneel down here in the studio with you. Holy Father, I bow down before you tonight, Lord, and I thank you for your graciousness, your mercy, your kindness, and for pitying us, Lord, because we certainly need it at times. And, Lord, it seems that sometimes when we get off track, you just show us more grace. And I thank you, Almighty God, for being that wonderful God who reaches out and touches us and hears our prayers. Tonight, God, I'd ask you to bless this listening audience, Lord, and bless this message to their hearts. Touch this word to their hearts, God, because truly, Lord, it's your message, not Peter's, not Dr. Ventura's. It's yours, Lord. And please, let it touch hearts and change minds and help somebody in this audience tonight, Father. Draw those who are just channeling by Blog Talk Radio. Let them tune in tonight. Draw them to it through your Holy Spirit, like you sent out Abraham's servant to get a bride for Isaac. Lord, and I thank you in Jesus' name. Well, Father God, I ask you, God, that you would continue to bless us now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're over in Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 6. And then, if you would, you get 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 13 to 22. And let's see what the Lord does. Don't you? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? I'll tell you what, I don't care if it's radio or TV. I just want to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. I used to sit in church, and after 26 years in prison, I sat down and put my arm on the back of the pew and look around and say, wow, this is where I belong. This is my home. This is where God wants. I'm in the house of God. Amen. Got rid of those concrete and steel walls. And hey, listen, God's there too. Don't ever fool you. There's some strong Christian soldiers in the prisons. I was prisoner almost every week, and by phone or by mail, I get letters and I write to them. And you know, if you want to support some prisoners outside our country, there's ways to do it. You go on the internet and you look up Voice of the Martyr, and if you look up the Voice of the Martyr magazine, or Voice of the Martyr, you can write letters to authorities in other countries who are holding our Christian brethren captive, arresting them for preaching the gospel. And you do have an effect. Those letters do have an effect. I always tell them, listen, the people in America know what you're doing over there. So Matthew 28, 1 through 6, here we go. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear ye not, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay. Amen. Amen. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 to 20. And then go back. Then I just want to tell you a little, give you a little history lesson here about this resurrection on when they got there on the first day of the week and what was really going on. Because a lot of people just think that, you know, Mary showed up. And the lady showed up with some perfumes and stuff, and that there's more to the story. That's not exactly what happened. You know, yes, Peter showed up, but a lot was going on, and you really don't get that unless you read all four Gospels. Amen. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 15:13-22. Here we go. Scripture says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen. Whew. No resurrection, no hope, my brethren. No resurrection, no hope. Let me give you the order of events. Here's the order of events, combining all four narratives of the Bible. This is what really happened at the tomb. Three women, Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James, and Salome, they start for the sepulcher where Jesus is buried. They're followed by other women bearing spices. The three find the stone rolled away. Mary Magdalene goes to tell the disciples. Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, draws nearer to the tomb and sees the angel of the Lord. She goes back to meet the other women following with the spices. Meanwhile, Peter and John, warned by Mary Magdalene, arrive. They look in the tomb and they go away. Mary Magdalene returns weeping, sees the two angels and then Jesus, and goes as he bade her to tell the disciples. Mary, mother of James and Joseph, meanwhile, has met the woman with the spices, and returning with them, they see the two angels. And they also receive the angelic message. Amen? And going to seek the disciples, they're met by Jesus. A lot was going on at that tomb. And listen, it wasn't sunrise. Jesus Christ was already resurrected when they got there. It wasn't sunrise. And so, you know, I preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago called Easter is a Pagan Holiday. Because truly, there's nowhere in Scripture where anyone's told to celebrate Easter. Jesus didn't tell anyone to celebrate Easter. No apostles found anywhere in Scripture tell anyone to celebrate Easter. No one's told anywhere in Scripture to celebrate it. Pagan holiday. It's a festival. And I said last week, it's celebrated to the goddess of fertility. That's where it starts. In Ephesus, she was Diana. And remember the big tumult they had over in the book of Acts. You read about the disciples there and the people, and the whole town was yelling, Diana, Diana. And they was such an uprising there. And in Babylon, Semiramis, and in Phoenicia, she's called Astaroth, and in Greece, Astarte. So really, you and I as Christians, Easter has nothing to do with Christians, nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And if you're listening to me tonight and you're a saved individual, because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're a saved individual, Easter has nothing to do with you. You and I as Christians, we're to remember the death and the birth of Jesus Christ every day, 7 days a week, 365 days each year. Amen? Jesus Christ was born to die, and it is the power of his resurrection that we're going to find hope. If there's no resurrection, my brethren, there can be no hope. No resurrection, no hope. You know, Alfred Mace, he was a minister of the Word of God, and he was walking down the street with his father. And Alfred Mace's father was a champion boxer. And Alfred Mace was a young minister. And he saw a funeral procession coming up the street. And so Minister Mace said to his father, "Here he comes again, Dad, and only beaten once." And his father took a boxer's stand, put his fists up and said, "Where is he? Where is he?" And the young minister said, "There he is. His name is Death." Amen? Amen? Hey, listen, the devil's a tyrant. He's the instigator of death. R.G. Lee, the famous preacher, said, "A man may be blind and alive, deaf and alive, dumb and alive, but if he's insensible to material things, he is dead." And so it is with the unregenerated, the unsaved soul, the man who's going to die in his sin. An unregenerated soul meets all the objects and the agencies of the spiritual world with a cold indifference, with utter unconcern. And though he's charged with numberless transgressions, and the wrath of God is on him, you know, he's sensible to no burden. He doesn't even know it. And through destruction and misery, they're in his way. But he's unalarmed. You know what that reminds me of? When I was a young man, I used to fish up there in New England, and I'd go fishing, and I'd hook a good fish and pull him out and clean him up. In the meantime, I'd throw that line back in while I was cleaning him. He'd be cooking up on that grill, frying, and the other fish would be so indifferent, they weren't even paying attention. They just grabbed him the worm. I'd pull another one in. Well, that's what's happened with the sinner. he's walking around so blind and so spiritually unfamiliar and unsensitive to the things of God that he doesn't even realize there's somebody burning in hell. Just like that fish that was cooking up there on the barbecue and the other ones are swimming around, grabbing in their sin, just like the person. They're going about their daily business, not even paying attention. Lord, have mercy. And though God reproves and he encourages and God asserts his authority and he displays the reasonableness of his command, addresses man's hope, man's fear, draws back the veil that hides the eternal world and sets life and death, blessing and cursing before them, and men turn away from him. Him that speaketh, they reject the counsel of God against themselves. They remain stubbornly indifferent against God's overture of love and mercy. Listen, man is in danger of not only death, but three deaths. There's physical death, there's spiritual death, and there is eternal death. And my brethren, every one of us has an appointment, whether they believe it or they ignore it, and put it in the back of their mind if they want. But Hebrews 9:27 says, and this is the word of God, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Amen? Hey, listen, everybody's got a judgment. And just ignoring God and pretending he doesn't exist or pretending that you're not going to, you have your own way to heaven. Hey, listen, you're going to answer to God. And when you answer to God, you're going to stand there alone. Your mother, your father, your brother, your sisters, your cousins, nobody's going to be there with you. You're going to stand there, and you're going to answer to God. And he doesn't care how good you've been. He doesn't care how much money you've donated. He doesn't care how many times you washed the neighbor's car. He doesn't care how many times you walked the neighbor's dog. He doesn't care how many times you fed the homeless. The one question he wants to care about, and I'm sure all those things are good things, and I'm sure God, smiles on that stuff, but the truth is, you can't get into heaven by your good works. And if you, then why did Jesus die? Why don't we just all do our good works? And how do you know when you did enough? Listen, death is coming, my friend, and who knows? You may be next. No resurrection, no hope. You look at any cemetery. Death is no respecter of persons. It doesn't care about your culture. It doesn't care about your sexual preference. It doesn't care about your social standing. And wealth and money has no favor with death. Death has no interest in your plans for the future or your investments on the future. Only one person, only one has conquered death, and that's Jesus the Christ. And it's death. You understand? It is Jesus Christ who is willing to give you the victory over that death and to replace it with eternal life. Hey, my brethren, no resurrection, no hope. Amen? No resurrection, no hope. Christ the Savior, he's promised the power and has conquered the three deaths of men. He's conquered that physical death. He's conquered that spiritual death. He's conquered eternal death. The scriptures clearly tell us, you and I, that after Jesus Christ's resurrection, Jesus Christ stood there and he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Not some power, not I'm going to have power later, not I got a piece of power, but all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Amen? Matthew 28:18. Hey, I didn't write it. No resurrection, no hope. You know, in an absolute danger is that a man, he's really enjoying his dead state. But I'm telling you, it's only for a season. Hey, listen, you know about seasons, winter, summer, spring, fall. Hey, in Israel, they knew what that meant. They had six seasons. We got four over here in the United States of America. Hey, have no doubts. The devil has no happy old people. Hey, man, there's no happy old people. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't care about me. All he cares about is shutting us up and stopping us from preaching the gospel. Amen? No resurrection, my brethren. There's going to be no hope. There is no hope now without a resurrection. Thank God Jesus Christ resurrected. So I'm telling you, the first death tonight to be conquered, which cancels out the other two, is spiritual death. Every person, boy or girl, man or woman, is spiritually dead outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. What are you talking about, Pastor? Let me tell you. Let the Apostle Paul tell you. Hebrews 2:14 says, For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also, Jesus Christ, he also likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Amen? Whoo, hallelujah. No resurrection, no hope. Hey, man's happy in his unsaved, unregenerated state, allowing his soul and his body to get all that they can get out of this world, feeding the flesh, not realizing the soul and flesh are addicted to the things of the world, but can never be satisfied. Amen? That's why that woman went to the well, and she drew water, and Jesus said, listen, if you knew who you were talking to, you draw the water that comes from me, the spiritual water he was talking about, the well that never runs dry. Amen? Hallelujah. Never runs dry. You drink the water of Jesus Christ, you'll never thirst. You know, sin's addiction, it can't be cured by cold turkey. Self-help and striving is useless. A lost person needs the great physician. He can heal you, Jesus Christ. There's no program outside of Jesus Christ, amen? Zechariah 4:6 says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Let me give that to you one more time. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hey, listen, most people who give up an addiction get addicted to something else. I know a lady who gave up cigarette smoking, used to pass. She's been off the thing about a year. She eats more lollipops than anybody I know. She's addicted to lollipops. She's got to have lollipops to supplement her cigarettes. Lord have mercy. Killing herself anyway with sugar. Become a diabetic, right? I'm telling you. My brethren, if there's no resurrection, there's no hope. Now listen, my friends. You can argue over various, you know, Hebrew and Greek words if you want. You can hide behind scholarship if you choose. And you can support your own theology. If you want, you can get all you can all you get, and you can sit on the can. You still need Jesus Christ, the great physician. You must, my friend, be born again. And if you're listening tonight and you're not born again, you better reach out to Jesus Christ. You better look around this world and see we're not going up, we're going down. You kingdom builders better cut it out. You're not building any kingdom except the kingdom of heaven, and that's not visible. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven will be a physical, literal, visible kingdom in the millennium. But right now, we're building the kingdom of God. You're not going to build a kingdom on this earth. You better cut that out. Things aren't getting better. They're getting worse. And you know what the Bible says? They're going to get a whole lot worse. And then they're arguing about, well, Donald Trump and this guy and that guy and this one and Hillary Jezebel, whatever her name is. Now, all these people here, they're going to turn against, they're not supporting Israel. Hey, listen, you better read your Bible. The Bible says that every nation on the face of the earth comes against Israel. Sooner or later, this country will turn on them just like every other country, or the Bible is not right. And I got news for you. That Bible's right. Lord have mercy. I'll tell you what, you better watch out. The country turn against Israel. Every time the United States of America tries to get involved in dividing that land up and giving it to those Palestinians who didn't own the land, it's never been a nation. 25 kings ruled it. It was a territorial land that was ruled by 25 different kings. It was never a state. It's a lie. It's a liar. If you tell a lie long enough, somebody's going to believe it. And they believe it. Lord have mercy. And every time the United States of America gets involved, which dividing up the land of Israel, something happens in this country. If it ain't Katrina, it's an earthquake. If it ain't an earthquake, it's California's fires, California's droughts. Listen, sin is sin is sin is sin and sin, and God is tired of sin. The United States of America is in trouble, my brother. Look at Europe. They turned their back on God first. They gave up the King James Bible, and they turned to those new revised version, revised standard versions, NIVs. And you know what happened when they gave up the true word of God? They went right down the tubes as nations. Hey, brothers, no resurrection, no hope. I want to ask you something. What did the world do for you? The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Physical death, my brethren, comes to all, everyone. Unless the Lord comes in the air for his own, and he takes them up in the rapture. It's the unsaved and the backslidden who are living, you know, they're living this life as if they're the only, you know, this is the only life to live. And they act as though it is. Isaiah wrote this. Pay attention. Isaiah wrote this. Hey, pay attention. Isaiah wrote this. And behold, joy and gladness, slaying oxen and killing sheep, eating flesh and drinking wine. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we shall die. And it was revealed in mine ears by the Lord of hosts. Surely this iniquity shall not be purged from you till you die, saith the Lord of hosts. The unsaved, the unregenerated life is not a pleasing life to God. Amen? It is not a pleasing life to God. In regeneration, it's man's spirit that's given life. And he's born again from above. You and I, we could not save ourselves. You will not save yourself. And if there's no resurrection, then there's no hope. Amen? And I've heard the swoon theory, oh, Jesus passed out. And I heard the other theories, well, maybe his spirit left him before he got to the cross. Listen, Jesus Christ was crucified as a man. He died, he buried, he resurrected on the third day. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Amen. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Hey, come on, brother. That's a truth claim. Either Jesus Christ is who he said he is, or he was the greatest liar that ever walked the earth. Listen, let God be true. Let every man be a liar. Our God doesn't lie. The evidence is clear. You know it takes one person, one eyewitness account to put somebody in prison for life. And here you have the eyewitness accounts of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's four. And then you have Paul, and you have Silas, and you have Barnabas, and you have all these other people that saw Jesus Christ, and they witnessed the miracles of Jesus Christ, and he was seen above 500 brethren, Paul said in Corinthians. Lord have mercy, 500 witnesses, and they still don't believe the truth. They still don't believe the eyewitness accounts, and they give you that nonsense. Oh, man wrote the book. Hey, God became a man. I told you before, if I wasn't a man and I wanted to talk to an ant, how would I relate to an ant unless I became an ant? And God is so great, came a man. God manifested in the flesh the blessed hope so that he could communicate. How do we communicate? Through writing, through words, through men. Cut it out. You're not thinking this out. You're listening to some professor in some school who's brainwashing you with nonsense of the world. Lord have mercy. The unsaved, the unregenerated. Listen, that life's not pleasing to God. I can't believe some of these things I hear. Listen, I'm not waiting for the undertaker, brethren. Hey, I settled that issue with God. I got that sin off me. I got under the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm born again. I'm not waiting for the undertaker. I'm waiting for the overtaker. Amen. I already got the victory, the overtaker. He won the victory 2,000 years ago at the cross. Woo! Come on, Lord Jesus. Amen? Hey, I'm looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. And listen, my friends, if you're out there tonight listening and you haven't settled the sin issue with God, you need to, well, you're going to split hell and eternity wide open. You're going to suffer the eternal flames of hell. And Lord have mercy, you're going to split hell wide open. Hey, there ain't a person in hell today who thought they'd be there. And if there is, I'd like to meet them. They always thought their plans and their schemes were good. But if you walked up to the gates of hell and you smelt that sulfur in your nose burning and you got across the river and you looked into hell and you said across that gulf that God talked about, that between Jesus told the story between Lazarus and the rich man, and you smelt that and you said to that rich man and all these rich people and all these people living for themselves in the world, and you said, listen, did you know you were going to be in hell today? They'd say, no, we thought our plans were good. We figured we'd do it later. We were going to get saved. It's too late. Can't you talk to Jesus for me? I can't. It's too late. Judgment's upon you. You have to stay in this place till judgment day. There's no water. I know. You've been told. There's no. We're suffering. I know. You chose to suffer. Don't shake your fist at God and say, why'd you make me like this? God gave you free will. Quit blaming God. Quit blaming your parents. Quit blaming your neighborhood. Quit blaming your children. Quit blaming the police. Quit blaming the government. You're a sinner. You're a sinner. Get right with God. Hey, you don't like my preaching? Well, I'll tell you what. I'll let Jesus Christ tell you. Matthew 23, 32 to 33 says, fill up then the measures of your fathers, ye serpents, your generation of vipers. How can ye escape the damnation of hell? Amen. Hey, Jesus doesn't mince words, so why should I? And why do you expect your pastors to get up there and pat you on the back of the head every Sunday and tell you, oh, everything's going to be fine? Hey, put some money in the thing. Ah, seed money. Ah, come on, give 10, you'll get 20. Come on, give 10. Hey, listen, you people, are you kidding me? Half of you aren't even tithing. You know, not that you should tithe. Paul said, as the Lord prospered you, you should give. You go to a restaurant, you pay 15% for a tip. You guys aren't even tipping God. Lord have mercy. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents. You know what Jesus was telling them? You bunch of snakes. You think I don't know who you are? You're a bunch of snakes. Snakes, you crawl out of the ground, you crawl on your belly, and you're looking to attack something that's not going, you'll bite the heel of a horse, you don't care. That's what Jesus is telling them. Well, Jesus wouldn't talk like that. Oh, gentle Jesus. Hey, he's not gentle Jesus. He's fully grown. He's not in the manger. He's on the throne. Amen. He's on the throne. John said, when I saw him, I fell down as dead. You're not running up to Jesus. You let him fall down as dead before him. And you're saved. Imagine a person who's not saved. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. Hey, listen, your fathers were unsaved, he says, and you were living an unsaved life, and you come from unsaved behavior, and you're an unsaved man, you snake, you viper. Hey, Jesus wouldn't talk like that. Oh, cut it out. Stop pretending. Everything's okay. It's not okay. Your life's not okay. You're in sin. You've got sin in your life. You need to get cleansed. And if you're saved, you better get it under the blood of Jesus' confession. And if you're a lost man, you better confess your sins. You better receive the Savior before you go to hell. I can't stop you from going to hell. The only one that can help you is Jesus. You better find him. You better find Jesus. Whosoever shall call upon me, Jesus said. That's what the scriptures say. Paul wrote it for you. Lord have mercy. Jesus didn't mince words. Why do you want a pastor to pat you on the head? You think Sunday's for entertainment. That's what you think. You think you're supposed to go there and dress in your fancy clothes and everybody's going to go there and they're going to see who's got the best dressed clothes. You go into church, you're looking around. You're not even paying attention. You haven't prepared your heart. You haven't prayed. You're looking around the church to see what Sister So-and-so is wearing. Oh, look at the hat she's got on. Come on, cut it out. Comparing one another with each other. Wow, what about that sin? Hey, what about your sin? What are you looking at somebody else's sin before you even get the sin out of your life? You think God created this earth so you can walk around and act out your sin on the earth? This isn't your stage. This is God's earth. Lord have mercy. Well, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Problem in the church today is Ichabod. Ichabod. 1 Samuel 4:21. The glory of the Lord is departed. Ichabod. That's the Laodicean preaching. You know what Jesus said about those preachers over in Laodicea? Revelation 3:16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Listen, there are Christians. Never mind the unsaved people. There are. Listen, you expect bad behavior from an unsaved Christian. But a saved Christian, there are Christians that make God sick. You go to church Monday, Wednesday, and maybe Friday and Saturday. You go out soul winning, maybe. And Sunday, your heart ain't right. You're doing it because everybody else is doing it. You got into a routine. Now listen, if you're doing the right thing because your heart's right, I'm not talking to you. Learn to separate. Don't get mad at the preacher. There's something in this message for everybody, including me. Preach to you, I preach to God. God's preaching to me. It's coming from God. It doesn't come from Peter. God's talking to my heart, too. I got to preach this stuff. I preach it, and I say, you know what, Lord? Touch my heart with what I need to hear in this message. I might get convicted, too. I'm a sinner just like you. The hardest lesson for a Christian is to learn that the pastor's a sinner. Nobody's above sin. But at least I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven. Saved sinner, better than an unsaved sinner. But I get it right. Confess it. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. But the glory is departed from our churches. Ichabod. Ichabod. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. I've got a church that's not even 10 miles from me. Just put $1 million front on their church. A facade. $1 million. What are you kidding me? Do you know what I could do with $1 million? Why, I'd build the largest Bible institute in Southern California if I had $1 million. I'd build a church, and we'd preach sound doctrine every day. We'd have classes where they teach young men and young women how to behave as Christians, how to live as Christians, how to dress as Christians, how to think as Christians. Come on out of the world. Hey, man, a refuge, a haven of Southern California to bring them in. Bring them in. You know the song, bring them in. From the fields of sin. Lord have mercy. $1 million just to build a nice building? What are you? Listen, that's something I expect from the Catholics. They got the giant cathedrals and the gold plated and the stained glass windows. And hey, there's nothing wrong with stained glass windows. But I'm talking about, the golden chalice and the silver and the pearls and purple and scarlet. Now, all that money. You put $1 million in the front of a church building? What in the world? You think when you get to heaven, I'd like to ask that pastor to put all that money into that congregation, put $1 million into a building and ask him, you think that God is going to ask you how much money you spent on the church? All God wants to know is how many souls did you get saved? Billy Sunday go into a town that was a town where they'd sell alcohol and have bars and prostitution and liquor, and Billy Sunday preaching a tent out in the street and save more people than you saved that church with $1 million front. You know why? Because the power of God was on Billy Sunday. The power of God is on men like R.G. Lee. Men like R.G. Lee. Lee Robinson. Lester Roloff, Vince Massa. The power of God is on them. People running around the country all day, preachers traveling from church to church, preaching at seminars and trying to give you something to help you and no conviction in the message. But they're going to give you something that's going to help you. How are you going to help me if you can't help me get out of my sin? Good is knowing how to trust somebody. What good is knowing how to love somebody? What good is knowing how to tithe? What good is knowing how to deal with anxiety? What good are all those things if I'm not convicted of it? Lust of the eyes, pride of life. Lust of the flesh. Oh, you can forgive your brother. This is the way you do it. You go before the... Hey, listen, what good is all that if my heart's black? Thanks for helping me, Pastor. What about the rest of my life? How come pastors aren't preaching conviction? Sinners in the hands of an angry God, preached by Jonathan Edwards in Enfield, Connecticut, back in the 1700s. If you've never heard that sermon, get a copy of it. Read it. Never mind listening to it. Read it. While old Jonathan Edwards was standing in there and that white hair of his was hanging down, they didn't have electricity. He had a candle in his hand. And he preached that sermon, and the people were so convicted of their sin that they, even the saved people, they were holding on to the pews lest they should fall through the floor into hell. Listen, God's got more ways of taking people out of this world. What? People are flashed out in a flash by a lightning bolt in a storm. Boom, and you're gone. What are you waiting for to get saved? What are you waiting for to give your life to Christ? Jesus didn't say, go get cleaned up, stop drinking and do all that. He said, come to me. Whosoever calls upon me, a drunk addict, a rapist, a murderer, whosoever calls upon me, come to Jesus. Listen, if we don't have a resurrection, we don't have any hope. And I hate mealy-mouthed preachers. And I don't like warm Christians that are lukewarm because they make God sick. You can't escape the judgment just because you're saved. You may have settled a sin issue at Calvary, but brethren, 2 Corinthians 5:1 says, "For we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone," he's talking to saved believers right here, "that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he has done, whether it be good or bad." R.G. Lee preached that sermon, "Payday Someday." And, oh, brother, we're going to have a payday someday. It's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God. You haven't been before a judge for a speeding ticket. You know how nervous you got there. Imagine when you're standing before the creator of all the universe, holy and righteous, who can't even look upon sin. Look back into our lives. What did you do after you were saved? Oh, you better get that thing under the blood. Amen. Whew. And if you're saved, listen, all you need to do is remember John 1:9. John 1:9's got a message for you. John 1:9 says, "If we confess our sins, he give us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Some of you are just too hard on yourselves. You get into sin, and instead of turning to God, you say, "Oh well, I'm just keep going down the road I'm going." No, stop, brother. The bridge is out at the end of that road. Cut it out. Get on your knees. Say, "God, I'm a sinner. I felt the lust of my eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. Please forgive me in Jesus' name." And God will forgive you. And then you get right with God. Your state will be right. And God will continue working in your life. It doesn't matter if your sin's only once in a while. It's sin. Give it up. It only took one sin to get thrown out of the Garden of Eden. It only takes one sin to send an unsaved man to hell. One sin. I meet people all the time and ask them, "You saved? I don't know. Well, if you died now, would you go to heaven? You sure? I don't know. Well, I've been a good person." Hey, how good have you been, my friend? Do you mind if I just... We got to have a standard. So the standard of moral goodness is the Ten Commandments. Wouldn't you agree? And they say, "Yeah, that's a good moral standard." Okay. Did you ever steal? No. Oh, come on. You took a pen from work, a pencil, paper clip? Yeah, I guess I did. Well, you committed a sin. Did you ever tell a lie? Well, everybody lies. Well, okay, did you tell one? I'm not asking about everybody. Yeah. Okay, you're a liar. You know what the Bible says? If you broke one commandment, you broke them all. You broke one commandment, you broke them all. Cut it out. It only takes one sin to send a man to hell. People don't go to hell because they're thieves. People don't go to hell because they've committed crimes. People don't go to hell for those things. People go to hell because they refuse to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He paid the price. He holds your pardon. You get in some of these churches, and you know, I had a brother walk up to me in a large church. It's local. It's within 50 miles of my home. And he walked up to me one day, and he says, "You know, brother, I like you." And I said, "Really?" "Yeah," he says, "because you don't walk by me like you're afraid to get something on you." And I said, "Huh, imagine that." And I said, "You know what, brother? It's because I've had something on me before. But God cleansed me. And if he cleansed me and you're saved, I know he's cleansed you. There ain't nothing to get on me. And I love your brother." And he hugged me with tears in his eyes. You know what happens? You get a bunch of self-righteous people walking around these churches today. Don't even know the word of God. They just figure because they go every day. Hey, listen, some of them are ministering in the churches. Some work with the youth groups, teenagers, music. They're afraid to invite you to their house. You were in prison? Ha! Don't come to our house. Oh, hey, Jesus was in prison. Did you invite him to your house? Well, he was in jail for something he didn't do. How do you know I did what I said I did? And even if I did, I'm forgiven. What sin do you have that's better than mine? Let's talk about it. It only takes one sin to go to hell. Sin is sin. What are you, stealing, lying, cheating, committing murder, robbery, fornication, adultery? Come on, what sin's better than that? Come on, you got a better sin? Cut it out, you self-righteous, indignant hypocrite. Walk around the church like you're some holy thing because you God blessed you with some clothes and God blessed you with a nice family and a home. You forgot where you've been. You forgot where you came from. Cut that out. God's going to justify that, you know. You better watch out because if you're enjoying the honey, you better know something about honey. Honey comes from a beehive, and a beehive is found in a place where it doesn't stay in the same place too long. You better hope that you're enjoying that honey now, because if God decides to move that honey from you, you'll be back where you started. Amen? You self-righteous hypocrite. You know who I'm talking to. Somebody out here God wants to get a message to. You better cut that out. You got something good. It came from the God. It came from God. You didn't earn it. You go to work every day. You think you go to work because you earned that job. God gave you that job. You go to work for the wrong reason. You think you're going to work every day to earn a living. Well, I'm earning a living. No, you're supposed to be earning a giving. As the Lord prospers you, you're supposed to give. Walk around these churches with your nose up in the air, snubbing brothers that don't have the same clothes, snubbing brothers that don't smell the same as you, snubbing brothers that got criminal records, snubbing brothers that had a bad life. You came from the ghetto. You're somebody better, right? Because you grew up in an affluent neighborhood and you became a Christian. Cut it out. Why don't you get off some of that money and go help somebody? Why don't you give some of that up? Loaded up the bank accounts, padded your account. You could have paid your mortgage 50 times and you got it in the bank sitting there. You ain't even using it, collecting interest. Hey, God's going to collect some interest from you. Cut it out. Closets full of stuff and clothes and garbage that you don't need. Hey, we Americans are crazy. We got closets full of stuff. Listen, I got clothes in my closet. I'm thinking about it now. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I got 6, 7 pairs of khaki pants. I got to tell you, I haven't worked in 2 years. I don't know what I'm doing with 6 pairs. My wife keeps telling me, will you give them things away? I don't know why I'm holding on to them. I'm selfish. I'm materialistic. I need to repent. God forgive me. So do you. Empty out some of that stuff. Give it away. Garages, closets, attics, full of stuff you're never going to use. You're sitting on it. You got all you can. You canned all you got, and you're sitting on that can. You ain't taking that with you. You ain't taking a dime of it with you. And you ain't saved. You'll be sitting in hell. You really ain't going to have nothing. You don't even have a reward coming at the judgment seat. Nothing. No resurrection. No hope. And if you're not saved, all I can tell you, brother, is you need to bow down right now. And you need to ask Jesus Christ. You know the Holy Written Word of God says in Revelation 14:1, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. Every tongue shall confess to God. Everyone. It doesn't matter whether you're rich or poor, black or white, Hispanic, Chinese. God doesn't care when you get there. He's not going to say, did you enjoy your cantata? Did you enjoy your bar mitzvah? Did you enjoy your Italian festivals? God don't care about that stuff. He's going to say, when you were at those places, did you go on by me? Woo! What a mighty God. Hey, listen, we serve a mighty God, don't we? Hey, no resurrection, no hope. Listen, brethren, if you're not saved, you're not a brethren. If you're not saved, if you haven't settled a sin issue with Jesus Christ, your name's going to be missing from God's book of life. God's got books. He gave you 66 to read. It's called the Bible. Revelation 20, 12 and 15 says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works, and whosoever, doesn't matter who you are if you're not saved, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Woo! Thank God we got the resurrection, because we didn't have a resurrection, we wouldn't have any hope. There's hope. You need hope. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the declaration of his deity. Romans 1:4 says, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a declaration of the power of the Holy Spirit in the believer. Scripture says to you, believer, "But if the Spirit of him," the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of God, "if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Amen. Hey, oh, we're all the children of God. We're all the children. Hey, who told you that fantasy? Jesus said to them people, "Ye are of your father the devil." They were unsaved. My father's God. And if you're saved, your father's God. Amen. God's children are born again. God doesn't have any grandchildren, by the way. Just because your mother and father are saved and you're not doesn't mean you get in. Playing with God. Let me tell you something. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's the declaration of a clear and the concise defeat of Satan and all of his minions, all of them. "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death." Hey, I'll bet you when Samson walked away that time with the gates of Gaza on his shoulders, the Philistines saw that. Oh, how humiliated they were and angry. Hey, listen, how do you think the devil and his minions were? Jesus says he has the keys of hell and death. Satan brought death into the world through sin. And Jesus says, "Hey, I have power over death. I have died, and I am he that liveth." Woo! Amen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's the declaration that God has destroyed the sting of sin. And so the beautiful scriptures read, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Hey, you can walk in the cemetery any day you want and scream out, hey, you could ask them, "Oh, death, where is thy sting?" Hey, listen, if I die, I live. Absent from the body is present with the Lord, and all that is in the ground is a shell of me. And one day the Lord's going to come back with a shout, with a trump of God, and my name's going to be called out. And your name, if you're saved, and if we're dead and our bodies are in there, our bodies will come out first to meet our souls in the sky with the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we which are alive. Woo! Hey, listen, people will be disappearing off the face of this earth. You think you saw terror in Europe? You think you saw terror at 9/11? You think you saw terror at Nagasaki and Hiroshima? You ain't seen nothing until you really find out who's saved sitting next to you in church. They thought they were saved, but I'll tell you what, when you're gone, the only thing you're going to leave, you're going to leave your clothes, you're going to leave your jewelry, you're going to leave your fillings, you're going to leave the parts you don't need, and you know what? You're going to leave your blood behind. Because flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of God. And there's going to be a pile on that pew next to that person that's unsaved sitting next to you, and it's going to be a mess, a bloody mess. That's the rapture. Boom! It means a sudden grabbing. Well, Dr. Ruckman down there in Florida, Pensacola, Florida, says that it'll tear you out of your frame. We will be gone in a second. And anybody who's driving a train that's saved, that train's running. Airplanes with pilots that are saved, people are going to be gone. this world is going to crash, and there's going to be chaos and disorder. And such, you haven't seen anything yet. Any world tragedy or event up to this period of time is nothing compared to the main event, which is about to start. The main event is about to start. Ladies and gentlemen, the main event, the rapture of the saints, the return of Jesus Christ, the tribulation period, Armageddon. Woo! The main event. And in this corner, Jesus the Christ. And in this corner, Satan and his minions. Woe unto you, earth, for the devil has come down unto you, it says. What are you going to do when the children of God are out of here? Lord have mercy. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, it's a declaration that God has destroyed that sting of sin. You and I, we have, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have the blessed hope. The blessed hope. And that's what you're supposed to be looking for. The blessed hope. Looking for that blessed hope. And the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's a thought. What will you be doing when Jesus calls us? Because you know what? Whatever you're in the middle of, you're caught doing. Think about that. Don't put that needle in your arm. You better think about that. Want to fill that glass up with some booze? You better think about that. You want to fornicate, commit adultery? You better think about that. In the twinkling of an eye, ain't no way to get out of what you're doing. In the twinkling of an eye. Better to be right with the Lord. Better to walk right with the Lord. Better to smell like a Christian. Better let your neighbors know. Tell them all that when you get to the white throne judgment, Jesus and God standing there and he starts judging those people. And they say, well, what do you mean? I see him here. That's who? What? That guy there, he was my neighbor. He was your neighbor. You won't put your head down in shame. You didn't even tell your neighbor about you. You let your neighbor go to hell. You know why? Because you were afraid your neighbor would say you're weird. And that guy's strange. Hey, listen, you're supposed to be peculiar. You're not of the world. You're in the world. You sacrificed that man's soul because you felt that he might humiliate you and talk about you. Are you willing to let him go to hell because of your own personal feelings and preferences? Are you kidding me? What are you thinking? No resurrection, no hope. And I don't care if you're saved or you're lost. You can settle that sin issue right now. Or you can settle it later. There's no second chances when it comes to eternal salvation through the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Listen, hey, people are dropping off the face of this earth by the millions, daily, every single day. I see people smashed on the highway and motorcycles crashed under cars. That's just traffic accidents. Listen, guy, you're walking around, you don't know the sword of Satan standing upon your head. He wants your soul. He wants you captive in hell. He wants you away from God. He wants to steal all he can. And but by the grace of God, God's keeping you alive, and he's telling you, listen, you're walking on a rotten tablecloth. It's moldy, the earth, and you're walking like you own it, but you don't know death and hell is just a second from you. And you deserve it as a sinner. I deserve it to go to hell. Thank God for Jesus that saved me. Why? Why do you want to go to hell? Why? What are you thinking? Listen, if I walked up to you and offered you a $1,000 bill, you'd grab it in a second. If I could really have that? Yeah, you could have that. Listen, God's offering you something more valuable. Your eternal soul. This is not a game, my friends. Christians, I'm talking to you. This is not a game. There are people going to hell because you won't tell them. Why? In clear-cut commandment, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. What do you think God's going to say to us? Oh, it's okay. Yeah, you let that guy go to hell, no problem. Come on. If you're an unsaved man today, you're tired of living that life you've been living. You're tired of that addiction. You're tired of that oppression. Listen, there are people in worse prisons than concrete and steel. There are people in prisons in wheelchairs. There are people in prisons of abuse, spousal, family, mental, emotional. There are people under the oppression of the devil. They're in worse prisons than prisons. I know prisoners that are more free than some of my brethren in the world. Why? Because you won't clean your heart up. Now look, I'm going to get down on my knees here with you right now. If you're an unsaved man, bow your head. Say, Father God, I'm a sinner. I am. Yep, that's me. I admit it. I'm a sinner. And I need salvation. I need the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that he came to this earth and he died for me. And that he was buried. And that the third day he resurrected. And he's sitting now at the right hand of the Father. I believe that, Lord. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive me my sins. Because I can't pay the price for them. And I don't want to spend all eternity in hell. Oh, God, I ask in Jesus' name, your Son's name, to forgive me for my sins. And I receive and I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I turn, I repent of my past sins. I know I'm a sinner. I don't want to walk that walk anymore, God. I want the new life in Christ Jesus. Lord, your scripture says, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. Listen, if you're an unsaved man and you receive Jesus Christ, man, woman, boy, or girl, or you rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, you can reach out to me. Come on, reach out to me. You can call me at 203-240-0377. I will pray for you personally. I will pray for you. I will put you on our church prayer list. We will pray for you. We believe in the power of prayer. We have seen the healing power of God in the lives of people who are addicted to drugs, addicted to sex, addicted to all kinds of crazy stuff. But God can lead them out of it. And listen, call me or text me or write me or email me at ventura.peter77@gmail.com. That's Ventura, V-E-N-T-U-R-A dot peter77@gmail.com. Reach out to me, and I'll send you some literature that you could read. And in the meantime, find a Sound Doctrine Bible-believing church. Look to see if it says Bible-believing church. Get a good Bible-believing church. Don't go to these churches that are using these modern phony Bibles. And if you got a question what's wrong with those Bibles, you email me too. I'll give you that answer. You get yourself an authorized version of the King James Bible, or you email me with an address, and I'll mail you one. I will mail you a Sound Doctrine Bible that is the Word of God, and I will help you along. My staff here, the staff that God has blessed me with, they are loving, and they care about your soul. We care about your soul. We don't have an awful lot, and we're not a large church, but I know one thing we have love, church, and that love comes from Jesus Christ. So I just want you to know, if you need somebody, call me. I'm here. Saved or unsaved. If you just rededicated your life to Jesus Christ, get on down the road. Do it. Say out here in Southern California, get her done. Amen. Keep your eyes on the prize. I ask tonight that you'd bow your head with me now and have a prayer. I'm still here. I'm on my knees. You join me on your knees. Come on, get off that couch. Get off that chair. Cut it out. Don't be lazy. You're bowing down before God. Show your humility. Remember, every knee's going to bow before him anyway. Might as well start bowing now. Show him that humility. You respect him and love him. fear. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, God, for this message tonight, Lord. And, oh, Lord, I thank you for your kindness and your goodness and for sending Jesus Christ to pay the price for our sins, Lord, for my sins, saving me from the depths of hell. And I ask, Lord, that you'd bless this listening audience. You'd touch their heart and touch them in a way that, Lord, they go out and become super Christians, Lord, that they keep their eyes on you, Lord. Let them hear that small, powerful voice of the Holy Spirit guiding them. Place your angels before them and behind them. And if there's any that's sick, Lord, that you'd heal them. You are the balm in Gilead. You are the B-A-L-M of Gilead. Amen, Lord. Heal them from the crown of their head to the very tips of their toes. Touch them, Father God. Oh, Lord, be merciful, be kind, be gentle. Be loving as you are to all of us, Lord, in a way that we know you're doing that, Father, and that it just didn't happen by some chance. And I thank you, God. I thank you for Nathan. I thank you for my wife, Marilyn, Associate Pastor Scott, his family, and Jalik, and those, Kitty and Fred, and those who have been praying for us. And please pray for Kitty and Fred's family audience. Please join me in that for them. Keep them in your prayers. They just lost a sister to cancer, and she was a saved woman. What a powerful saint. I met her in person in Vegas, and she just was ready to meet the Lord. I mean, amen. Whew, what power. I didn't see any fear in her face. She encouraged me. And I'll tell you what, brother. You just keep your faith. And pray with us for those that are ill in our church and those that are ill in the world and those that need Jesus Christ. Pray for those pastors that lead their flock astray, that God just take that mantle from them and reveal it. Just those who are teaching wrong doctrine, help them to get right themselves. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this time. And thank you for this guest spot, God, that you've given me here. And thank you. And I ask you to bless Joe Gibson, Lord, and his family. And I praise you, Father, for all your mercy and your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brother Nathan, go ahead.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm you have called me. And I follow. name.